When I was trying to eat really clean, I found these healthy chips that I love to eat. They were dairy-free, gluten-free, and every other type of free. They were only 160 calories a serving. The problem was that I would eat the entire bag in one sitting. That was 5 servings. Just like that, I had consumed 800 calories. I could have just had 200 calories of Doritos and been better off. I have another friend who cut out all dairy and grains from her diet. When she got hungry, she would eat a ton of carrots and celery. She wasn't losing weight, and she finally realized that it was because she was still overeating. But instead of eating too many sweets and crackers, she was eating too many carrots, celery sticks, nuts, avocados, and peanut butter. You need to go to the root of the problem, not the fruit. When you don't fix the root of the problem, you go after chemicals, artificial sugars, and all of this low-calorie fluff. We create habits of eating more food instead of waiting until we're hungry. Tell yourself this: go to the root, not the fruit. Or maybe talk to an accountability partner and tell yourself, share it, don't run to the carrot. You can still eat the foods you love while losing weight, and nothing is unacceptable to eat. Although you will do best if you avoid sugars and chemicals, keep those in the realm of the 3-bite rule. How am I going to feel when I eat this? One thing I want every reader to understand is that as long as you eat in your eating window, you can't make a mistake no matter what you eat. But remember, if you are a healthy thin eater, you're going to be able to eat more than a sick thin eater. Yesterday I had half a donut and didn't feel guilty about it one bit. The problem with dieting is people don't want to control how much they eat, so they make their food behave. They overeat on things like carrots or celery and say that because it's healthy food, it doesn't count. That's not what the Bible says at all. The Bible says to put a knife to your throat if you're being gluttonous. Period. The end. You have to practice self-control. I'll ask a thin eater, someone who is very healthy, what she ate yesterday, and she will say, a slice of pizza and a brownie for lunch and steak, vegetables, and some pasta for dinner. And in my head, because she's drop-dead gorgeous and super skinny, I will say to myself, see how skinny she is? And she ate a brownie and pasta. Then I will talk myself into eating that. And I can eat it, but only if it's gluten-free or I'll feel awful. My body can't process gluten because of autoimmune issues, but I don't have to deprive myself. My body cannot handle it, just because hers can. If I eat gluten, my joints hurt, I can't walk, my head gets inflamed with psoriasis, and chunks of skin fall off, and I get massively constipated and exhausted. So yes, I can eat them, but I must remind myself that I have an autoimmune disease and I'm not depriving myself, but I must discern what I should eat. So I'll say it again. If you have no food allergies or sensitivities, but you avoid certain foods because you think you're being good, then you're trying to control the food but aren't focusing on hunger and fullness. 3 phases of dealing with food allergies. Food allergies versus food sensitivities. A true food allergy is when your immune system reacts when you eat something, and it affects different organs in your body. Some reactions can be severe. A food intolerance is less serious, and usually results in something like gas, bloating, cramping, exhaustion, and low energy. If you have a food allergy, your body can swell up, become itchy, get hives, or go into anaphylactic shock. I want you to think about 3 different phases if you have food sensitivities. Obviously, if you have a food allergy, don't touch any of the foods you react to with a 10-foot pole. Phase 1, complete food freedom. If you are unsure whether you have any food sensitivities, allow yourself to eat whatever you want. Let me explain. I have tons of people say, I have a gluten sensitivity. Then they read my book and start incorporating a little bit of gluten into their meals. Why? Because they are not overeating it. Once they learn to eat normally and they're eating until just before being full, then they realize, oh, I don't have a sensitivity. Go ahead and allow yourself food freedom. Personally, I've tried to incorporate gluten back in my life, but I just feel so miserable. So when I have bread, I make sure it's gluten-free. Phase 2, minor eliminations that don't deprive you. I found this verse, Philippians 1, 9-10, and this is my prayer, that you may be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. You must figure out how you can be discerning of what you can eat. I just finished eating an oatmeal cookie that was non-GMO, gluten-free, and I feel great. Phase 3, maintenance. Eat what makes you feel your best. My husband recently lost 10 pounds, and he told me, I just really finally learned that there are certain things that make me feel so bad when I eat them. So I made the decision not to eat them anymore. I'm not depriving myself, I'm just being discerning. He's hilarious and really likes to make jokes and take specific parts from my book and throw them back in my face. For the last 20 years, I have had different chronic illnesses, but I was even worse after I had my son Kyle, who is now 8 years old. I was just really, really weak and tired. My doctor told me I was totally fine, so I just went from doctor to doctor to doctor. One told me it was chronic fatigue syndrome. Another told me I'd had chronic fatigue syndrome, but it had healed. My blood work showed that it had been in my system at one time. Then I was told it was my thyroid. Some of my different symptoms were massive joint pain, psoriasis, fatigue, eczema, muscle pain, digestive issues, gas, bloating, constipation, B12 deficiency, swollen and painful joints. I was getting blood work done constantly, but every time I got it done, my numbers would come back normal. One of my doctors literally said, "Chantel, I have never really seen anyone that had such great numbers." So I started to feel like I was just crazy because most doctors would say my numbers were normal. Now, looking back, I know this was because the ranges of what a physical doctor say are good numbers are completely different than what a naturopath doctor would say are good numbers. My doctor even told me, "I think it's just stress or anxiety. I think I should put you on anti-anxiety medicine." Even though I told her I was not anxious at all and definitely did not need to be on anti-anxiety medicine, she said to me, "Well, you have 7 offices and over 200 people who work for you. You must have some anxiety, even if you don't think you do. And so I definitely want to put you on anti-anxiety medicine," which of course I absolutely refused and never took. Another doctor wanted to put me on Humira for my psoriasis and joint pain. Humira is an immunosuppressive drug and has massive side effects that I just did not want to take either. This was all before I finally found out that I had autoimmune disease. As I did my interviews, I would hear women say something like, "I eat whatever I want. I never go on a diet. I just eat when I'm hungry and stop when I'm full." When I'd hear that, I would think, "Yes, that's it," and would go back to eating whatever foods I wanted and then felt awful. Know the differential, caloric intake. Maybe you heard the story that came out a few years ago about John Cisna, the science teacher who ate only McDonald's for 6 months and lost 56 pounds. He did this on a 2,000-calorie diet while walking 45 minutes a day. Moral of the story? Caloric intake is a big deal. You need to start eating what you want and not what you think you should eat. One time I went to lunch with my friend Allison. I don't eat pizza very often, but that day I was craving pizza, so we went to Uno's Pizzeria and Grill. I ordered a small personal-sized pan pizza with onions, pepperoni, and veggies. Allison said, "That pizza sounds tasty, but I'm going to be good and just get the grilled chicken Caesar salad." Well, her salad came out and the plate was literally a foot long. It was huge. It had tons of Caesar dressing, croutons, grilled chicken, and Parmesan cheese. If you look up the calories in a Caesar salad that size, it's at least 1,000 to 1,200. But in her mind, Allison thought she was being good by ordering the salad, even though she thought the pizza sounded good. Meanwhile, I ate half of my personal size pizza and was satisfied and planned to just save the other half. Well, after Allison finished her salad, she saw my leftover pizza and said, "I tried to be good with the salad, but I really want pizza. Can I have the rest of yours?" So she ended up eating her entire salad plus half of my pizza. This is exactly what a lot of people with a weight problem do. They order what they think is better for them or healthier, but it's not what they really want. So they end up eating that plus what they really want. Allison would have been better off just ordering the pizza in the first place because it was what she really wanted. Cheese pizza from the average restaurant is 950 calories, while a Caesar salad can be as much as 1,280 calories. Crazy, right? You can get so caught up on trying to eat healthfully and think you're doing well when really you're missing out on eating what you really want, and there's no reason for it. So I'll say it again, eat what you really want. My trainer told me that people trip themselves up in a similar way when it comes to exercise. You can work out at the gym and overestimate how many calories you actually burned. Treadmill calorie counters are not accurate. So say that you think you burn 400 calories in a workout when in reality you only burn 200. If you go out and devour 400 calories based on that misperception, you're suddenly in a bad place. I'm not an advocate for counting calories. I am an advocate of getting yourself to a place where you eat less food. That's the whole idea. We've fed our bodies too much and too often. Now we're limiting the amount of times that we're eating and the amount of food that we're eating with this plan. Although I don't count my calories, I do recognize that caloric intake is very important. My aunt weighed 125 pounds for the longest time before she dropped to 90 pounds and stayed there. Using the calorie calculator at calculator.net, I can estimate that she only had to go from eating about 1,800 calories a day to about 1,524 to maintain that weight loss. It's unbelievable. Just a small change in your caloric intake can make such a difference. It's not very hard to reduce calories and still eat what you love. You can do it easily with sandwiches. In my opinion, there's never really a time you should be eating 2 pieces of bread. One is more than enough. If you can get away with it, have an open-faced sandwich with just one slice of bread. To reduce the bread on an English muffin, scoop out the middle part. It tastes better that way, in my opinion, because I like the crunchy part anyway. You can do a similar thing with a bagel and take out the entire middle part. This way, you can get rid of a lot of the calories, but still feel like you have a nice sandwich. On the other hand, there are times when you're craving something and you need to let yourself feel satisfied. In Virginia, there's a restaurant called Baker's Crust that has something called the Gotta Have It Burger. And sometimes I gotta have it. That kind of burger isn't quite as good without the bun. So when I eat it, I eat the whole thing. You don't want to make every meal a mental battle. It's really exhausting. People who are naturally thin don't do that to themselves. Counting calories, asking can I or should I, based only on caloric intake, all of that is just mentally exhausting. Are all calories created equal? When you do this intermittent fasting plan correctly, you're going to consume fewer calories, and that equals weight loss. If you're worried that eating the decadent foods you want is going to counteract that, check out this story. Mark Hobb is a professor of human nutrition at Kansas State University who, for a class project, ate junk food for the majority of his diet and lost 27 pounds in 2 months. The key? He restricted his calories to fewer than 1,800 a day. It didn't matter that he was eating mostly Twinkies, Doritos, Oreos, and more. The calorie deficit led to his weight loss. Now, if you had one person eat 1,800 calories of Twinkies versus 1,800 calories of grilled chicken, I do think you would see a difference in muscle definition. However, if your focus is weight loss, proper intermittent fasting helps you get where you want to be. Also, because intermittent fasting involves eating windows and, as a result, fewer meals a day, it removes the need for being overly focused on counting the actual calories. If you eat OMAD, for example, it's very difficult to eat more than 1,200 calories in one sitting. Macronutrients. Macros, short for macronutrients, are nutrients your body needs to survive. They are fats, proteins, and carbs. All three of these are needed for cognitive function, energy, and more. Protein really ties into lean muscle mass and satiety, the feeling of being satisfied. If you're deficient of protein, it can contribute to weakness, mood changes, lack of concentration, and joint issues. By simply listening to your body, evaluate if you're getting enough of everything you need. Don't get obsessive with trying to count every last gram. Know yourself. Let's say I really wanted some chocolate mousse, but in an effort to be healthy, I tell myself, I'm just going to have this apple with almond butter instead because that's the healthier option. Sometimes that will work, but oftentimes it really depends on how badly you want it. Because what you don't want to do is eat that apple with almond butter, say, that just didn't do it, and go eat the mousse anyway. Now you've eaten the apple, almond butter, and the mousse. You've eaten all those calories. It's better to just eat the mousse in a small amount rather than overeating. In my opinion, no one ever needs an entire donut. It's way too much sugar. But doesn't everyone need a couple of bites of donut every once in a while? Absolutely. In the beginning, it takes time because you have to tell yourself that you can eat just 3 bites and be done. When you're starting out, you're probably going to have to throw away half of the donut to keep yourself in check. Deciding how to eat. Among Christians, there are many different opinions on veganism and vegetarianism and joint issues. By simply listening to your body, evaluate if you're getting enough of everything you need. Don't get obsessive with trying to count every last gram. Know yourself. Let's say I really wanted some chocolate mousse, but in an effort to be healthy, I tell myself, I'm just going to have this apple with almond butter instead because that's the healthier option. Sometimes that will work, but oftentimes it really depends on how badly you want it. Because what you don't want to do is eat that apple with almond butter, say, that just didn't do it, and go eat the mousse anyway. Now you've eaten the apple, almond butter, and the mousse. You've eaten all those calories. It's better to just eat the mousse in a small amount rather than overeating. In my opinion, no one ever needs an entire donut. It's way too much sugar. But doesn't everyone need a couple of bites of donut every once in a while? Absolutely. In the beginning, it takes time because you have to tell yourself that you can eat just 3 bites and be done. When you're starting out, you're probably going to have to throw away half of the donut to keep yourself in check. Deciding how to eat. Among Christians, there are many different opinions on veganism and vegetarianism. Some of them can be extreme. I have a friend who we'll call Corey. Corey is so passionate about not eating meat that she believes anyone who does is a sinner. There can be a lot of emotion surrounding this topic, but intolerance for the different ways people eat bothers me. I feel there is scriptural support for people who want to eat a vegan, vegetarian, or meat-inclusive diet. You have to pray and get wisdom from the Bible and find out what God wants you.
And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God.
It's worth mentioning that some Christians recommend a vegetarian diet not because of scripture, but because of the treatments of animal in the food industry. This is a point worth considering. God gives us dominion over all the earth, but he also expects us to behave responsibly and be accountable for the way we treat his creation.
Proverbs 12:10a, NIV, the righteous care for the needs of their animals.
I think animal rights groups have a very valid point that we need to treat animals with respect, but unfortunately, many of them have forgotten that animal life cannot be given priority over human life. I know some people who would rather starve to death than eat animal meat. If that's you, I respect that. You should also respect those who choose to eat meat. Pros and cons of vegan and vegetarian diets. I feel my best when I eat tons of fruits and vegetables. There are vitamins, fiber, and vital nutrients that only come from plant sources. Simply put, the more vegetables you eat, the healthier you're going to be. A vegetarian diet tends to be lower in calories and fat. Most of the fats encountered in the vegetarian diet are the good kind. To be specific, they are monounsaturated fats. In practical terms, this means that they lower LDL, the bad cholesterol, and raise HDL, good cholesterol. On the other hand, strict vegetarians and vegans may fail to get enough protein and essential amino acids in their diets. If you're going to be on a vegetarian or vegan diet, you should definitely consult a registered dietitian or your doctor to make sure you're getting all of the nutrients your body needs. What works for your body? At this point, it's clear that the Bible says there aren't any foods you're lawfully restricted from eating. In fact, in Genesis 18, God sat down with Abraham and ate red meat, butter, and raw milk. However, that doesn't mean you should still eat anything and everything. You have to find out what you can and can't eat for your body specifically. The Bible says I can eat bread and milk, but I don't eat a lot of it because my body doesn't process gluten and dairy very well. I just eat it in limited amounts and I feel fine. Enjoying food isn't a sin. As we talk about being disciplined and having self-control, I don't want you to think that food is the enemy. In fact, putting whole groups of food in a hands-off zone makes you want them more. It's kind of like with Adam and Eve when God said, "You can't have the fruit of this one tree." Then all Eve could think about was eating fruit from that one tree. And she allowed temptation to get the better of her rather than practicing obedience. As soon as someone says you can't have something, that's all you think about. Enjoying food is not a sin. I don't believe your attitude has to be, "I can only eat to live and I can't enjoy anything that I eat." I disagree. I think you can enjoy whatever food you want. There's nothing you can't have. You're simply learning how to eat non-clean foods in moderation. You don't want to have this frantic mentality that obsesses over every detail about food. Okay, what am I going to have for lunch? I don't want a sandwich, but I do because it has too many carbs. I don't want to have this croissant with chocolate, but I do because it has too much sugar. I don't want a frittata. Oh yes, I do, because it has too many eggs and they have cholesterol. You can just get so crazy about it. Chocolate is not from the devil, and God hasn't restricted you from eating it. I believe you can have both healthy and yummy together. It's just all about portion control. A lot of people pray a general prayer when they sit down to eat. Thank you for this food and help it to be nourishing to my body. Instead, pray with purpose. Thank you for the food you put in front of me. Help me not to feel guilty about eating any of it, but to eat in moderation. Help me to know when my body is full. Help me to stop before I overeat and give me supernatural power to show restraint and self-control. The Holy Spirit should be your personal nutritionist. Invite Him to your meal. By the time you're done with this book, if nothing else, you should be praying much more honestly. Nutritionally dense foods. I want to take a moment to discuss the paleo diet. I don't think anyone should be on a diet. I do think you should make food choices that make your body feel amazing. As I was interviewing thin eaters, they told me that they don't follow any diet. But they would say to me a big bulk of my diet is non-starchy vegetables, lean meats, and fruit. Paleo. The paleo diet involves non-starchy vegetables, lean meats, and fruits. Even the Bible tells you to eat like that. I know when I eat mostly paleo food choices, I feel better and have more energy. Please hear me loud and clear. You are not on a diet. You are making food choices that make you feel like a million bucks. Like veganism or vegetarianism, I absolutely don't think eating this way should be a requirement for anyone. However, I would highly recommend at least a version of paleo for anyone suffering from an autoimmune disease like me. I have Hashimoto's disease, an autoimmune disease that attacks the thyroid. Whenever I ate 100% paleo, my condition got drastically better. Now I do an 80-20 lifestyle of paleo combined with my intermittent fasting. Choose real food. The modern American diet isn't very good. It's full of chemicals and foods that lead us into autoimmune disease, thyroid problems, cancer, digestive disorders, and heart disease. How and what you eat affects your health, and my personal health problems are what lead me to eat what I call paleo-ish. Note, this section is for people who suffer from an autoimmune disease and would like to know what I did to cure my condition. If you don't suffer from any of these problems, then you have no reason to eat paleo-ish. The 80-20 rule is just fine for you. As always, talk to your doctor before making any decisions. Paleo-ish is simply paleo with a few personal differences. The paleo diet basically tells you to eat lean meat, fruits, and non-starchy vegetables. Very simply, paleo is clean eating. Now, there are three different ways I think you can do this. Pure paleo. No grains, dairy, soy, refined, or processed foods. 80-20 paleo. 80% of the time you're eating paleo. 20% of the time you're eating whatever you want. Autoimmune paleo. For people with chronic autoimmune disorders like fibromyalgia, psoriasis, lupus, IBS, and more, there are certain foods in the paleo diet that can't be eaten. Depending on your health issues, you'll have to test out different foods and find out what you respond well to. Before I came across paleo, I was overweight with dry skin, debilitating fatigue, and brittle hair that was falling out. My doctor told me that I had autoimmune hypothyroidism caused by Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Paleo is how I healed that. I started out doing paleo 100% without even knowing how much effect it would have on my thyroid. I actually felt terrible at first because my thyroid kicked into overdrive and reacted to my medication. I could physically tell that I needed to back off of my medication. I lowered it and stopped doing paleo 100%. That sent me on a roller coaster for a while until I found my balance of an 80-20 paleo diet, or paleo-ish. I began at 125 milligrams of Synthroid medication for my thyroid, but I was able to bring that down incrementally until I didn't have to take it at all. My doctor was surprised that my eating was the only change that I made. My psoriasis even got better. This all happened because of eating paleo-ish combined with intermittent fasting. The two work together, and I wouldn't have gotten those results without both of them. The foods that make my body feel best are my green light foods. 1. Meats of any kind, grass-fed or pasture-raised. 2. Seafood, wild-caught. 3. Vegetables, organic and local. 4. Eggs. 5. Fruit, organic. 6. Nuts and seeds of all kinds, in moderation. 7. Fat, preferably avocado oils, coconut oils, extra virgin olive oil, and ghee. 8. Paleo-friendly sweeteners, raw honey, maple syrup, coconut sugar, coconut nectar, and dates. Foods I limit, yellow light foods. 1. Grains, gluten and non-gluten. 2. Legumes, all beans, soy, and peanuts. 3. Dairy, milk, creamers, cheeses, and yogurts. 4. Processed and refined foods. I have friends who choose to eat only raw, unprocessed dairy, and that seems to work for them. Personally, I love dairy, but the less I have, the better I feel. I can only have dairy here and there and in small portions. If I have any more than that, my body just can't handle it. Some people, like me, who have food allergies to dairy can tolerate ghee butter better than butter because it's pure fat. Once again, none of these restrictions apply to you if your health isn't negatively impacted by any of these foods. You're free to eat whatever you want. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, "Thou shalt not have dairy or gluten." I'm not here to tell you what you can and cannot have. I can tell you what works for me, and you have to find out what is beneficial for you. Ask yourself, when I eat this food, how do I feel? I have tons of friends who go to France, Germany, and Italy and eat gluten. When they eat gluten here in the United States, they feel terrible. Their skin breaks out and they are exhausted. Unfortunately, the way our country is processing foods prevents us from being able to digest it.